The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're glad to see every one of you. We invite you to sign the Friendship Register, the booklet you should find the inside aisle of your pew. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to have your name and address. Glad to see everyone today. Invite you to take note of the announcements in your bulletin today. The insert is about our next gym night. By the way, it's on May the 2nd, not May the 3rd. It is on a Wednesday night, but you can start signing up for that. That's available to everyone. Then if you'll notice that next Sunday is going to be a very special Sunday. Every Sunday's special here, but next Sunday will be our Mission Sunday. By the way, it says March 15th. It's actually April 15th. Pay no attention to the bulletin. Just listen to me. April 15th, next Sunday. During worship, we are going to collect blessing bags. They're going to look like this, and then we're going to give them away, okay? So in order for this to happen, I need your help. I need you this week to either buy some of the items. You see the list in your bulletin, the travel size for those kinds of things. Buy some of these items. You can bring them by the church this week. You can bring them with you to worship next Sunday. Or if you just want to write a check today and somebody else will do the shopping for you. That sounds good, doesn't it? You can just make the check payable to the church and put blessing bags on the memo line. But we cannot do this next week without your help, okay? Because we got to have stuff to put in these bags. Our children and youth will be helping us next week. So make sure you take care of that. Either purchase some items or give some money so somebody else can do that. And then we'll do that next week during the worship service, okay? Then, next Sunday afternoon, we will be participating in a Rise Against Hunger event, formerly called Stop Hunger Now. We will pack 10,000 miles in 90 minutes. How many of you have done this before? Okay? All of you raising your hands, keep your hands up. All of you are going to come next Sunday and help, right? Okay? How many of you have never done it before? Okay, all of you that raise your hands right now, you're going to come next Sunday, aren't you? No, we really do need your help. Now, we can do it. We can pack 10,000 meals in 90 minutes, but we can't do it with 10 people. We need lots of people. So please, and it is a fun event. It's a relaxed event. It's for all ages. So please come, bring children, youth, your own or somebody else's, and we'll have a great time together. Begin at 3 p.m. Now, in order for us to start at 3 p.m., everything has to be set up at 3 p.m. So if you can come about an hour or a little bit earlier to help set up, then please call Lois Priest, and you see her number in the bulletin. Okay? Notice on the back cover of the bulletin, we're going to be featuring each week an inspirational quote from our youth. So you see Lauren Cook's there, and we'll be having a different one every Sunday, so you can look forward to that each Sunday. Look with me now at our prayer concern list. Bama King had knee replacement surgery on Wednesday and did very well, and she moved yesterday to Edgewood Place for rehab at Brookwood. Her room number is 348. She'll be there a week or two, so pray for her full recovery, but she's well on her way now, and she thanks you for your prayers and concerns. Also want to be in prayer for three families who have lost loved ones over this past week. Be in prayer for the family of Betty Covert, Don Covert's mother. She passed away at 98 years old this past week. Some of you remember she would come and visit Don here several times, so you might have met Betty, but be in prayer for that family. Also ask your prayers. You see on the prayer list, Dot Chambers, Faye Kaner's sister. She passed away this past week. A visitation will be this afternoon at Rich and Thompson in Graham, beginning at 1 o'clock, with a graveside service at Linwood Cemetery at 3 o'clock. So be in prayer for Faye and her family. And then also ask your prayers for the family of Jesse Eugene Andrews. That's Glenda Andrews' brother-in-law. John and Beth's uncle, who passed away yesterday. Visitation for him will be at Rich and Thompson in Graham on Tuesday at 1 o'clock with the graveside service in Linwood Cemetery at 2 o'clock. So be in prayer for that family as well. Any other prayer concerns or praises that you'd like to mention today? Then let me offer a word of praise. You see in your bulletin that we have a very special guest with us today, Richard Gary, Executive Director of Allied Churches. Just this past week or so, you celebrated 1 year anniversary, is there? 1 year at Allied Churches, and we are thankful for him. We have been longtime supporters of Allied Churches, so I thought it'd be good for him to come and give us an update on what's happening at Allied Churches. And then we also have Chris McCain with us. He's going to be talking during the children's sermon. So, Richard, please come. We look forward to hearing from you.
Good morning. Well, I only have 5 minutes. I could take a whole sermon to talk about the wonderful things that's happening at Allied Churches, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to come down to the shelter to where we can have a one-on-one conversation regarding the many different programs and initiatives. I want to take the time to thank this congregation for your unwavering support. Last year, we had a town hall meeting to which it was my first time. This is my first time as an exec, and we spoke to the needs and Allied Church's shortcomings. As an exec or as a leader, you go through this transitional phase to where you come to understand that the agency and the mission of the agency is bigger than you. Through faith is how Allied Churches operate. And so, life-changing experience for me. We were going through a very financial pitfall in October. Many sleepless nights for me. And I remember praying and saying, Lord, help us through this, because I don't know how we're going to do this. This is where faith come in at. I happened to be driving by here one day on a Saturday morning, and this church had Please Pray for Allied Churches out front. Within the same day, I went to Walmart, and I saw a group of young folks soliciting donations for Allied Churches. To make a long story short, within that one day, I saw 5 different efforts for Allied Churches. My point is this. Through faith, love, and hope, Allied Churches is possible. And moving forward, what Allied Churches is saying that out of all of our messages is that we are our community, and we can't make it without you guys. So I wanted to take this 5 minutes to not talk about programming, but to talk about my humility and my gratitude for your unwavering support and love. And moving forward, I challenge you once again to come by the shelter to see. I don't want you to invest in programs. I want you to invest in changing people's lives, because that's what we do. We have a number of church members here that volunteer in our pantry. The work they do in that food pantry is more than giving out food. Friday alone was a life-changing event for me once again. We had a young lady that presented to the pantry that was a single mom, unemployed, 3 children, 1 child with autism, and she was down on her luck. What happened was one of my staff came and got me and said, Richard, you need to talk to her because she needs help. Immediately within 10 minutes, we got the lady's water back on. We connected her son to resources, and she was going to try to find her a job this week. Once again, Allied Churches cannot do that without individuals such as yourself supporting us. So once again, in closing, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Please, I challenge you to come by the shelter to engage in conversation. I love you all. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Richard. Appreciate that. And just to start, you can see in your bulletin, we collect food every month in the Narthex. You see next to the last page there, the items for Allied Church's food pantry this month, tuna or pork and beans. We collect a different item each month. And then we also provide volunteers to serve a dinner in the shelter the first Sunday of every month, Sunday evening, and there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board to help in that way, too. So those are just a few ways you can get started right now to help, all right? Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll join in the call to worship. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Let us worship the Lord together. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we have gathered in this place to worship you, to bow before you and to declare that indeed you are the great God above all gods, the great King above all kings. And you're not just King of the universe, you're King in our life. And we want our life to reflect that. So bless us now as we worship you in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to confess our sins now, but what is sin? There are different words used for sin in the Bible. One of those words means to miss the mark, like you're shooting at a target and you don't hit the mark. That's what we do when we sin. We don't hit the mark that God has designed for us. So let us be honest and confess our sin using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of grace and mercy, on this first Sunday after the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, we celebrate your limitless love for us. Thank you for loving us and showing us grace, even though we do not deserve your love. We confess we all continue to sin and fall short of your glory. We do not love you with our whole hearts, and we do not love our neighbors as ourselves. We want to keep your love and grace to ourselves and not share it with the outsiders. Yet we know we are called to share your love with all, especially the outsiders. In your mercy, forgive us when we ignore a need and remain silent when we should speak. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to share your love, grace, and mercy with everyone, not just insiders. Forgive us, we pray, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. This is the point in the service where I declare to you by the word of the Lord that you are forgiven. But I'm going to have you help me with that this morning. Take your bulletin, turn to the front cover, and there's a verse there from 1 Peter that will be part of the sermon. This is the word of the Lord to us, so I want you to read it with me. We'll read it together. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Do you know where you are in that verse? You are the unrighteous. I am too. We've just said that in our prayer together, that we are sinners, but yet Christ suffered for us to bring us to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to do something different today for the children's sermon. It's going to be the children and youth sermon. So I want everybody from preschool age to 12th grade to come forward, okay? While they're coming, greet someone close by and let them know you're glad to see them today. Y'all can sit on the front row. Chris, you can come on up. Yeah, I know. You want to sit on the floor? You miss your glasses? You miss your glasses? All right. All right. Glad to have everybody up here. Some of you Haven't been up here for a while, have you? It's been a while, yeah. Well, we have a special guest today, Chris McCain from Allied Churches. I brought this with me to remind you. You know what this is? Eggs. That was last week.
Cups.
Puppy. Yeah, we're not going to do this today, so you can keep your money today, just for today. But you remember, some of you have done this. I don't know how long we've been doing this, but some of you have done this for a good while, where we collect money. Where does this money go? Do you remember? Do we keep this money for ourselves? No. Where does it go? Once a month, we collect that money. For other people, what's it called? Pennies for
Hunger.
Yeah, we give it to hungry people. And half of it goes to Allied Churches. Okay? So Chris is going to tell you about what Allied Churches is doing right now for children and youth, just like you. Okay? There you go.
Thank you. All right. So as Pastor Steve said, I'm Chris from Allied Churches. I'm one of the outreach coordinators there. I mainly focus on working with the youth that's in our shelter. I was trying to see what I was going to talk about today. It's like, what am I going to talk about? It shouldn't be that hard because I preach to my youth all the time at my church. But basically, I was talking with my executive director, and I was saying, we need to count our blessings more. Try to be more grateful of what we have. And some of the youth in our shelter are unable to participate in things that you guys may do outside, like going to the mall, etc. And basically, my job is I will go around to parks and rec facilities, going to museums, going to the movies, stuff like that, just to see what they can do for our children and to see how we can tie that into, hey, my job is to get the youth out the shelter so it's not a trauma experience. So basically, hey, you want to go to the movies today? Hey, you want to go to the park? Just for instance, I took one of the youth to the park one day. I didn't know his friends was going to be at the park. We got back in the car. He was like, Mr. Chris, can we go back tomorrow? I was like, well, we can see about that, but right now I'm glad you had a good time. Because they don't get to participate in these things. So basically, we try to get the youth out as much as we can to parks and rec, to the movies, to the museums, even as a picnic. They're grateful to have a picnic. And to see the faces on the youth, just the smiles on the faces, like, wow, I can't believe we did that. I was like, really? No, we never done it. I was like, okay. So maybe now it's my turn. Hey, can we get somebody to come to the shelter to read the book? Hey, can we get somebody to come to the shelter just to volunteer? So, and my other job is to coordinate youth groups to come volunteer. So I see a big old group here. This is a nice group. But basically, whenever you are free, I tell them, I would talk with the youth groups, I'll say, hey, or the leader of the youth groups, I'll say, hey, when is it free for them to come volunteer just to see what we do? Because so many people get the wrong opinion of what the shelter is. And I was actually talking to one of the youth one day, and he said, so you work at the homeless shelter? I said, yeah, I work at Allied Churches. He said, what do they smell like? I was like, no, we don't ask that, because everybody, they're all normal, just like us. They're just going through a hard time. So the youth, we try not to remind the youth, hey, you're in a shelter and you try not to get picked on. But hey, you're in a shelter, but my job is to make you forget about that and let's have some fun. So let's get this homework done and let's see what our next event is. CC's Pizza, Happy Meal Night, you know? So I always try to tell youth when I meet them, because I'm a youth minister, let's try to be grateful and to not take our blessings for granted, because any other day it could be us. So I try to always teach my youth, hey, make sure you are saying, hey, do you need something? And it may just be one of your classmates. it may just be one of your classmates, but I bet you would not know that's one of your classmates. Do you have any questions for me? What I'm striving to do, what we really do for the youth, what you can do as volunteer? Yes, ma'am. What do we do for the hungry people? All right. So basically, we have a kitchen called Joe's Diner, and we feed the people that is hungry for lunch and dinner on Monday through Friday. And it consists of some meat, some vegetables, and fruit, desserts. And we have so many compliments because we have a great cook, Mr. Willie. So we have that.
And Ava, some of the food that they feed those people, we help buy when we take up money. So, yeah. Yeah.
She's going to be my favorite volunteer.
Yeah.
I can't wait. any more questions of how you can volunteer, how you can get started? Can we take a tour of the shelter? Can we meet some of the people, some of the staff? Yes, ma'am. All right. We do not have any animals at the shelter. I apologize for that. You know, I thought we could have a shelter dog. We can't. So, but no, we don't have any animals. I'm sorry. Any more questions?
All right, Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you all.
Thanks so much for coming and sharing with us. Why don't we have a prayer right now? Let's all join together in praying, okay? Why don't all of you make your praying hands, if you haven't done it for a long time, and I'll pray and you listen. Lord, thank you so much for Allied Churches. Thank you for Richard. Thank you for Chris and the work that they're doing, the dedication they have to you and to our community and to people in need. Help us to care about them and to share with them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, if you're older and you want to go to children's church, no, third grade and under, you can head out to children's church. You get used to it. For those of you visiting with us, we are back in our Peter Principles series through 1 Peter. This is actually number 12 in a series, so you can look at, in your bulletin. We're at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 22, page 1124 in your pew Bible, if you want to turn there and follow along. As we prepare to hear God's word, now let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we need your help. We cannot understand your word and apply it to our lives on our own, so we ask you to help us by the power of your Holy Spirit, not just to hear words today or even just to understand words, but to apply them to our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me then at 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Quoting from Isaiah. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. In that state, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, whether you recognize it or not, whenever I prepare a sermon, I actually take some time to study the passage and read what other people have written about it. I've got all kinds of study assistants in my office. They're called books, where other people have spent many hours studying, and I listen to them and try to weigh all that they say. And for this particular passage, I opened up a lot of different books on 1 Peter and read what they said on this passage, and almost every one of them said, this is the most difficult passage in the entire New Testament to understand. Now, you might think, well, when you just read it, I didn't, but what I'm talking about specifically are verses 19, 20, 21, right in there. It is very hard to understand what he's saying. In fact, most of them quoted from the learned reformer Martin Luther. He wrote, a wonderful text this is, and a more obscure passage perhaps than any other in the Testament, so that I do not know for a certainty just what Peter means. I cannot understand it, and I cannot explain it. And there has been no one who has explained it yet. So where do I go from here? Well, this is part of the Bible, part of the New Testament, part of God's Word to us. So I think even if we struggle with understanding it, I think it has something to say to us today. By the way, here's a good Bible study principle for you anyway. If you're reading the Bible and trying to study and understand it, and you come to a part that it just doesn't make sense, maybe even read what other people say, oh, this just doesn't make sense to me. The best thing for you to do is to step back and look at the big picture. So what I want you to do with me today as we look at this tough text is step back and look for three things. I'm trying to simplify it, okay? You see the outline in your bulletin. First of all, look for why it is written. Look for why it is written. Okay, can you tell the main theme of this passage? Let me just read you again just some verses, some words from the verses I read. He talks about you being harmed, suffering for what is right, those who speak maliciously against you. It's better to suffer for doing good. Christ also suffered once for our sins. Do you get the theme? The theme is, can you say it in one word? Suffering. Yeah, there you go. Suffering. This passage, whatever it might mean, it has something to do with suffering. He's writing to people who are suffering for their faith. In fact, this is the theme throughout the letter. You go back to chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. So he's writing to people who are suffering. We need to recognize that there are people right now in our world today who are suffering physically because of their claim to follow Christ. People hate them for that. In fact, historians have estimated that, listen carefully now, more Christians were martyred for their faith in the 20th century than in centuries 1 through 19 combined. Now, that's an awesome statistic. 19 centuries, all total up all those who were martyred for their Christian faith, and then total up just in the 20th century, and there were more in the 20th century than all the others come. It's still going on in our world today. Let me just give you one example. A 32-year-old woman in China was getting ready to go to bed. The assistant police chief climbed over the wall surrounding her house and broke into her house. This is the police chief, assistant police chief, breaking into her house. He was looking for evidence that she believed in God. She was taken to the local police station and interrogated five times. They used electric shock on her. They pinched her fingers and then pulled them back with pliers. She lost consciousness several times just because of the pain. They sentenced her to prison for 2 years for breaking the law. Each morning, she's given a small bowl of thin noodles, which the other people in the prison call tiger's diarrhea. This is the way that she lives. Why? Because she believed in God and because she let other people know that she believed in God. You see what it cost her? But what does it cost us? Seems like it doesn't cost us much. One of our members told me about he's got a truck, and on the back of his truck, the words, "In God We Trust," and he stopped at an intersection, and somebody beside him saw that and started cussing at him because of what he had on his truck. So, I mean, we do get some of that, and we do sometimes worry about religious freedom, but we don't suffer for our faith to the extent that maybe other people do. But suffering is still real for us. So Peter's writing, why? To people who are suffering. He has a good word for them, okay? Secondly, what do we look for? Look for what it's calling us to do. Look in the passage for what it's calling us to do. What is clear that it's calling us to do? Well, look at verses 15 through 17. Peter tells these Christians who are suffering unjustly. It's not fair, but they are suffering unjustly. And here's what he tells them to do. Verse 15, he says, revere Christ as Lord. Put Christ first. Remember that Christ also suffered, and he's suffering along with you. Why should it surprise Christians that we suffer when the symbol of our faith is a cross? You know what Jesus did on that cross? He suffered untold agony. And that's the symbol of our faith, so we shouldn't be surprised that we have to suffer. And then he also says, be prepared to give an answer. The word there is apologia. It's not apologize for your faith. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to let you know I was a Christian. But a defense. Be prepared to give a reasonable defense for what you believe. Now, many times we come to church and, you know, we say, well, what do you believe? Well, I believe, you know, whatever the Apostles' Creed says or whatever. And, well, why do you believe that? I don't know. Never thought about that. My parents believe. My grandparents believe. I say I believe. Well, why? I don't know. Be prepared to be able to give an answer. Give a reasonable defense for why you believe. And then he says in verse 15, do this with gentleness and respect. Now, I'll tell you, I have known people who have given speeches, and basically their position, what they're saying, I agree with their position, but I don't want to be numbered with them because the way in which they presented that position lacked gentleness and respect. See, you can be right about what you believe, but wrong in the way you present it, wrong in your attitude. So do it with gentleness and respect. And then he says in verses 16 to 17, suffer for doing good, not evil, so those who oppose you will be ashamed. If there's going to be any shame, it shouldn't be you for what you're doing or the way you're doing it. It ought to be on them because you are doing what is right. Okay? Then the third thing we need to do when we come to a tough text is look for what it tells us about Jesus. Look for what it tells us about Jesus. What is the main theme of the Bible? The main theme of the Bible is Jesus. The Old Testament points forward toward him. The New Testament points him out. So it's a good idea to ask any passage, what does this say about Jesus? Now, it's very interesting. This passage is actually very clear about the basics about what it says about Jesus. It tells us three things. First, in verse 18, Jesus died for our sins. He was innocent, but he suffered for the guilty, the righteous for the unrighteous. And why did he do that? Why, even though he did not deserve the suffering, why did he receive the suffering? He did it to bring you to God. He did it so that you and God might have a relationship together, to join you together, to reconcile you to God. Then secondly, Jesus rose from the dead, verses 19 to 21. Now, this is the really difficult part, so let's pause and take a deep breath. There are questions about this passage. For example, where and when did Jesus preach to spirits in prison? This sounds weird because we don't read about it other places. Now, we say in the Apostles' Creed that Jesus descended into hell, right? Now, notice where that phrase is placed in the Apostles' Creed. It's between he was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. So it sounds like it's a chronological statement. First, he was crucified on the cross. They put him to death. They buried him. Then on the third day he rose again. So his descending into hell must have happened in between his burial and his resurrection, right? That's what it sounds like because of the order in which the phrases are in the creed. But let's see what it says in 1 Peter. Now, there are where he talks about verses 19 to 21, Jesus preaching to spirits in prison. There are three basic views that people have had through the centuries about what this means. One is that Jesus descended into hell between his death and his resurrection and preached either to people who disobeyed in Noah's time or to fallen angels who incited them to disobey. But the problem with that is, why are you preaching to dead people? You know, the Bible doesn't talk about Jesus going somewhere where people have already lived and died and giving them kind of a second chance and preaching a different gospel to them. Doesn't talk about that anywhere else. So that seems kind of weird. Or other people say that Jesus preached through Noah. Remember, Peter mentions Noah, the time of Noah and the flood. Jesus preached through Noah to the wicked who were destroyed by the flood. But what does that have to do with Jesus' death and resurrection? And it seems like it limits the story to Noah's time. So that doesn't seem to fit. Well, there's another view, and that is that the imprisoned spirits, notice he mentions spirits in prison, represent evil spiritual beings. That's the way that phrase is used actually in 2 Peter and Jude. And Jesus' victory in death, along with his resurrection, seal their fate and proclaim that Jesus is triumphant over evil. And this is what I think that Peter is saying here. That it's not about some descent into hell in between Jesus' burial and his resurrection. It's about Jesus' proclamation of victory, even to these imprisoned spirits. Because Jesus had died and rose again and won the victory, he's won the complete victory over them. You say, okay, well, wait a minute now. It sounds like from what you just said that you don't think that when we say in the creed he descended into hell, that you don't believe that. Well, why are you just now telling us that? You've stood there and said that all these years. I'm trying to anticipate your questions. Well, I do believe that Jesus descended into hell. I don't believe that it's taught anywhere in the New Testament that after his death, he went to hell and then came back, got back in his body and rose from the dead. I believe Jesus descended into hell on the cross. Hell is separation from God. Hell is experiencing the fury of evil. And I believe that Jesus actually experienced that in his death on the cross. That was, in bearing our sins in his body on the tree, that was his descent into the very depths of hell. And guess what? He was victorious over that. He went and faced the worst possible forces of evil. Everything, the worst that evil could throw at him. He experienced it all. And guess what? He was victorious over it all. Now, one more question I want to throw at you if I haven't blown your mind yet. He talks about baptism. Do you see that? Do you read what he said about baptism? Does it say that baptism saves you? Isn't that what it says? Verse 20, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. So baptism saves you. If you haven't been baptized, you're not saved. If you have been baptized, you are saved. Is that what he's saying? You know, I've had people, of course, in the Presbyterian Church, we have the tradition of baptizing infants. And I've had parents talk to me about wanting to have their child baptized, and you get the impression that maybe they don't come right out and say it, but you get the impression, you know, I want to get my child baptized because, you know, if something happened to that child, God forbid, but if something happened to that child before he got baptized, he might not go to heaven. You know, you kind of get that impression from people. Well, that's not a biblical understanding of baptism. That's kind of a magical understanding of baptism, but that's not really what the Bible teaches. And I don't think that Peter is saying here that the act of baptism saves you. Baptism is a sign and seal of God's grace that is already active in your life. Because Peter referred to the times of Noah, Then he brings up the flood. And then when he mentions the flood, it reminds him of what? Water. And when he mentions water, it reminds him of what? Baptism. His point is that water is a symbol of what really saves you. Just like that water, you think about, in fact, we've got a stained glass window with a picture of the ark resting on the water. And you see that water, well, that and that ark, well, that's a symbol of what saves you. Well, baptism conjures up in our minds those images and reminds us of what really saves us. What really saves us? Is it water in a baptismal font? No, it is Christ who saves. What Christ has done saves us. And so that's why he's emphasizing Jesus is the one who died for our sins and rose from the dead. And then the third thing in verse 22, Jesus ascended into heaven. Don't you like to be the winner? Don't you like to be on the winning side when there's any kind of competition? Well, what is the sign that Jesus has won the victory over evil? It is that he is seated victoriously at the place of highest honor, God's right hand, and all angels, authorities, and powers are in submission to him. It's almost like all the other powers of the world, evil or not, have to be subject to Christ because he has won the victory over all of them. What's the point of all this? The point is that if you're suffering, Jesus understands your suffering, and he's done something about it. He's won the victory over all evil that brings suffering into your life. A few months ago, we set up a bulletin board out in the hallway for you to put prayer concerns, and we've now changed that, and it's going to become another kind of bulletin board. But some of the prayer concerns were left up there, and I'm not going to read, some of them are specific, so I'm not going to read any specific names, but I want you to give you a general idea of some of the things that other people in the pews around you are suffering with. Here's one, somebody has cancer. Here's one that somebody's praying to be accepted into college. Here's one who wants us to pray for a couple in their family who's having marital problems. Here's one that has a member of their family who is suffering from depression. Here's one who's praying, wants us to pray for a family in need, a family with physical needs. Here's one that there's a child who's going through chemo and cancer. Here's one who wants us to pray that they'll get good grades in school. Here's one who wants us to pray for someone who's having a bone marrow transplant. Now, that's just a sample, but there's so many other things that all of us are going through. You know, and sometimes we don't talk about them. Some of us talk too much, you know. Not looking at anybody, but some of us, you know, like talk all. And some of us maybe don't talk enough about the issues that we're struggling with. Jesus knows all about them. And Jesus suffered too, and Jesus understands your weaknesses and your problems, and Jesus is the victor. So claim him as the victor today, even over whatever issue that you are dealing with today. Let us pray. Oh Lord, there are parts of your word that we don't completely understand, but we understand the main point. The main point is that Jesus is alive. He did not remain dead, and that he rose victoriously over all those things that hinder us in our lives, spiritually, physically. Jesus is the victor over them all. So today, Lord, we claim Jesus Christ as our victor, even in the midst of our suffering. No matter what we are suffering, Jesus understands it. Jesus cares about it. Jesus prays for us. Jesus intercedes for us. Jesus loves us. So we thank you for that reassurance today, Lord. Help us to accept that reassurance for ourselves and then to share it with others who are in need and are suffering. Lord, we pray for Bama this morning and pray that you would continue to help her to get better as she recovers. And then we pray for those families who have lost loved ones, for the family of Betty Covert, Jesse Andrews, Dot Chambers. Each one, Lord, in a different situation, but each one with sorrow today because of this loss. And even as they're suffering, come near to them and provide your comfort. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the victor over all, who taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll say what we believe using the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now respond to God's grace with gracious and generous gifts to his glory. Oh, Lord, we do want to count our blessings. You have blessed us so richly. Thank you that we can share. We can share with so many different ministries and needs just by putting some money in these offering plates. Especially today, Lord, we are thankful for Allied Churches and the work that they do because of the way we give, but also work that they do that we can't do. So we thank you for their diligence and pray that you would encourage them, uplift them, and supply their needs in a special way, all to your honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Christ suffered once on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Think about what Jesus has done for you. Think about how Jesus has proven his love for you, has given his all for you. That kind of love, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my all in return. So I invite you, as you leave this place of worship, to hear Jesus calling you to give your life to him. I'm going to invite Richard and Chris to join me at the front door so that you can have time to greet them and thank them for being here today. So as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit empower you, help you to know that he is with you and that he will never leave you and never forsake you, no matter what you're suffering. Amen.